All right, let's take our Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Am I loud? That's because you need it, okay? John chapter 13. I still feel like I'm ringing a little bit. How are we now? Is this good? Are we good? Okay. All right. Many of you have probably heard of the Just Do It campaign that Nike launched. In fact, Nike launched that campaign in 1988. It took the Nike industry and their business from an $877 million company to about $9.2 billion over the campaign history of there. But again, I think it's interesting that it started in 1988. 10 years before that, though, I think I was at the epicenter where it all started. I was at camp in upstate New York. I was maybe 9th or 10th grader. And we had at camp, there was a man by the name of Robbie Robinson. Robbie Robinson was 70-plus years old. He had a finger that had a knuckle like this, and the only reason I know is because my dad had the same kind of finger, broken finger, but it was always like this. That was his pointing finger. And Robbie was one of those that when he would meet you, he was just, he was magnetic. He was older, but he loved teens. I came from the Midwest, came to camp there in New York. I was enamored by the mountains. We had to get on a boat to go across to get to the island where we had camp. They would have about 700 teens on this island. They had a mini barge that would take our luggage on over. And it was just for me, my teenage years, the Lord really spoke to me in many different ways, but he used a man by the name of Robbie Robinson. Robbie Robinson would have after lunch, he would have what was called PE. It was personal evangelism time. And he said, "All," and it was a volunteer thing. Anybody wants to learn about soul winning, about witnessing, come right after lunch. We'll do it for about a half hour. We met in a certain little place. And Robbie Robinson would go over different principles of being a witness. I had been a part of a youth group that did not have a youth pastor. I had some wonderful, faithful youth leaders that taught us the Word of God, and we had a curriculum that we followed. But they were pretty busy at times, and I was starting to sense God was working in my life. And I had heard a lot of messages. I was at a very good church. My parents made sure I was exposed always to good teaching and preaching. And I remember that during this one time that I came that summer that Robbie taught on something that really started to change my life. It changed the direction of my teenage years that I know God used to call me into ministry. And it was on the matter of applying God's word to our lives. In John chapter 13, in here is the story of Jesus taking the disciples, bring him in a behind the doors meeting. And as he has this, the crowd is gone, it's just them, and he also has Judas there, and at the beginning, he's teaching them about washing each other's feet, which was really a sign of being servant and really serving others. And Jesus would give that example. He's the one that took the towel. He's the one that went to each one of them. He's the one that washed their feet. It was a great example. It was also the time where he said, "One of you are going to deny me." And even as they would go around going, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" It was amazing to see that even Judas would be one of those that would come to him. And can you imagine Judas looking in the eyes of Jesus and saying, "Is it me?" Well, as Jesus would do this great lesson for all of us, in John 13 and verse 17, here's the verse where he says, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." As Jesus is speaking to them, he's talking about being a servant, but again, he's applying the principle of something. You might know this, you might know the truth, but until you do it, to make sure you do it. Well, Robbie Robinson, this was his life verse. This is one of my favorite verses because he kept on talking to us and saying, this is what the teaching means. But he said, it's also, there's an application that you might know God's word, but you need to do it. You need to make sure you apply it in your life. And that little PE, personal evangelism seminar, or little workshop after lunch, God used to work in my heart. But the funny thing about Robbie, he would always say, just do it, just do it. He said, I'm going to say this so many times that I want you that sometimes you're just going to look, you're going to look at somebody's baseball cap, and instead of seeing the Cubs, you're going to see it says, just do it. And he said, you're going to look at shirts, and instead of shirts that would have a college name on it, you're going to see the phrase, just do it. He said, if I was to pull my pant legs up and you would see on my socks, just do it. Well, I'm like just on the cusp of being a freshman in high school. He pulled up his pant legs and he had made socks that had just do it on his socks. And I'm like, oh man, that's amazing. Well, that was 10 years before the Nike slogan hit. And so even when it came out, I still remember the part of when it came to applying scripture of just do it. Here we come to Bible Baptist Church. God has given us a great heritage. Coming up in June, we're going to have an anniversary Sunday of, is it 55 years? 55 years. Even as we're here in the auditorium, can you imagine all the preaching that's taken place here, all the prayers that have happened here, all the lives that have been changed here? But the challenge is that we can find that if we're not careful, we can get so much of the word that if we don't do it or apply it, that can be a challenge. I think it's interesting to look at your maps, and you see in the maps the picture of the Dead Sea. And the reason the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea. Does anybody know why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea? I appreciate the fact that you think I can really hear what you just said. I mean, I know you can hear what I said. They got me cranked up pretty good. So what is it? Okay, it's taking in, but it's not putting out, right? It's taking in, but nothing flows out. And it becomes like it's the Dead Sea. If we're not careful, we can take God's word in so much that we become Dead Sea Christians that we're not applying what God has given us. And so tonight I want to take some time as we look in God's word with the time we have of just the importance of how to apply scripture to our lives. Some of this might not be new, but there might be some tips and tricks that you can be able to apply and to help you in your devotional life. Maybe there's some things going that you're saying, well, I've been doing this the same way for years. And if you're not careful, you can find you're thinking about your to-do list. You're thinking about everything else except for the fact of what you're supposed to be focused on and really getting God's word into our life. So with that said, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look in God's word and fill in these blanks before we get going, all right? Let's pray. Father, help us now as we really look at a matter of how to apply the word you've given us. You have given us a book that tells us what you're thinking, that tells us how much you love us, that tells us what you want us to do with our lives. For some of us, we have got well-marked Bibles. We have many Bibles on our shelves. We have sat under some great preaching. But Father, never help us never to get to the point of those religious leaders that Jesus encountered, that they knew about the Bible, they just didn't apply it. Father, may our eyes be open to your word, and may you challenge us that we would strive to apply your word into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you have your hand out there, we're going to kind of fill in the blanks as we go. And I don't mind if you raise your hand, you miss a blank, and I've kind of gone a little bit farther, and you say, hey, can you back up? You can just raise your hand. Did anybody not get a handout? Anybody not get a handout? Hey, good job, Bob and Richard. Way to go. All right, we're going to raise your salary. All right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. The first blank in there really talks about the matter of the command to apply scripture to your life. The command to apply scripture to your life. I think everybody knows what James 1:22 says. What is the gist of James 1:22? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And we're going to focus on that more next week. But I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Deuteronomy was a book that was really took 30 days to be able to, it was an example of 30 days of life as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. And in here, Moses is going over what God has said, reminding them of the commandments and the things they cannot do as they go into the promised land. It's interesting here that all of a sudden we know James in the New Testament, we need to be doers of the word, but here right at the beginning, as God was giving his word, that there would be a command, you need to make sure you're doing the commandments always. Now go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verses 59 and 60. Again, David, as he was inspired to write this psalm by God, says this. Verse 59 of Psalm 119. I thought on my ways, I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Here we have in the middle of God's word another reminder, another command. We need to keep God's word. So the command is there that we need to apply scripture to our lives. Number two, the importance of applying scripture to your life. As you look at this, I already gave you some of those. The Bible is given. In fact, if you want to write down a reference, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let me see if I can get us there. I'll read that for you. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is given to show us how we have a relationship with God. It gives us instruction. If you want to know how to walk close to God, we've got a book right here that'll share it with you. And if you're sitting here and saying, you know, I'd like to know a little bit more on how I can find that, you want to make a pastor's day. You talk to Dr. Parker, Pastor Drew, myself. We would love to be able to help you on how to know God's word better, have a better relationship. It also shows us how to live godly in this world. It shows us how to change our lives to be more like Christ. This right here is what the Bible is given for. Bible study without application is an academic exercise with no spiritual value. When I went to this camp, it also had a time where they gave us an opportunity to do what was called a Teen Bible Institute. And part of the thing I wanted to do on there was learn how to lead somebody to the Lord. I'd been hearing so much about these personal evangelism, the PE seminars, that God was working on my heart. I was just terrified to speak to people. I know, hard to believe. And so they had this Teen Bible Institute that was going to be for 3 weeks. And one of the things it said it's going to be like having a mini Bible Institute, but then it said it's going to teach you how to lead somebody to the Lord. And so I asked my parents if I could sign up for that. I was pretty young as a teenager at that time. And the Lord had allowed us to do that. And so I'm there, and when I told them that, they threw me in every situation. They taught us how to do a survey. And then as they do the survey, here's follow this plan. And I had my New Testament marked up. I had excuses ready. I'm in Lake George, New York. I'm right near the lake. There's this beautiful seating area, and I see this man. I walk over to him, and I start talking to him. As I start to talk to him, I go through this plan. I find out that he knows about every verse I mentioned. In fact, as I would talk about a verse, he would quote it to me. And I thought, this is amazing. And we were talking about different verses, and all of a sudden my counselor, Paul Stroziak, he comes walking up behind me in the middle as I'm talking to this guy. He taps me on the shoulder and says, we need to go. I was like, and even as he's talking to me, this guy's not stopped talking. He's quoting scripture. He's talking. And I said, but Paul, he said, he's the town drunk. He's not going to stop. He's not a believer, but he knows the Bible. As a teenager, that had a huge impact on me. How could somebody quote that much scripture and not know what it's talking about? On here, letter C, what is application? Application is take in God's word personally. It's also put the Bible to use in everyday life. I like this one, allowing the truth of God's word to grip us in areas that need attention and to call us to action. You know, as God would teach his word to his men and women and they would share it with others, and even as the Savior would come to this earth, I never see a time where the Savior's teaching and he's talking and he tells the disciples, you guys don't need this one. You guys are good. I'm locked and loaded on these guys. You guys, take a load off. No, it was God's word for everyone at that time, and even the disciples, as they would follow Jesus, they were always asking questions. What did he mean by this? As he would teach in ways that those who weren't searching, they wouldn't get it, but for those who were searching, they were starting to pick up on things and asking, what is the meaning of this seed and the sower? You know, what is the spiritual significance of the feeding of the 5,000? That God would start to bring this in and teach them, but those disciples and those believers in the early church, they were so hungry to take God's word and to do it. On here, number three, the necessity of applying scripture to your life. The necessity of applying scripture to your life. Go to Matthew 22 and verse 29. I want you to get your eyes on this one. Matthew 22 and verse 29, it says, and Jesus answered, he's speaking to the religious leaders at the time, and he says unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. When you look at the context of that verse, these religious leaders that have pored over the scriptures. He was once again talking to them. They knew it, but they weren't doing it. In fact, it says here, you can't really know the word of God unless you apply it in your life. Jesus is talking to religious leaders at this time saying, you don't even know the word of God. Right now, probably in 2001, October of 2001, Apple Computer introduced a new device. It was called the iPod. It was something that changed the music industry. It was gone are the days of the Walkman cassette tapes. How many had a Walkman? Oh, yeah, okay. Had a Walkman cassette, or even had the ones that had a CD. That was crazy. But Apple made these little devices called an iPod. They were white. They had a scroll wheel. And the first batch came out in October of 2001. The second batch came out in March 2002. When I went to purchase a computer, Deb and I were talking. I knew I needed a computer, and I was using, for you all you Mac fans, I had an LC3, and I remember the guy, when I bought it, it was called for low cost color. He said it had a 40 megabyte hard drive, and he said, you will never use this up, all right? So I got that. Well, I got a new computer, and they had these iPods that were there. I had no idea what they were. They were having a sale on them. The guys told me, he said, hey, listen, we're trying to move these. It's something that's new. It seems to be getting pretty popular. So I got one. This is a 2001, or 2002, March of 2002, second batch of the original iPod. It has a scroll wheel on it. Has some connectors that I don't even know what that is. But when I got this, I had it, it was in the package, it was shrink-wrapped. I got it, and I put it in my desk. And I didn't touch it for 6 months because I didn't know how to use it. I come from the age of computers where it was like an Etch-a-Sketch. You know, don't bump it. I don't want anything to happen to it. I don't know if I'll mess it up. And so I put it in my desk. It got buried a little bit. And about 6 months later, about September, October, I pulled it out, took the shrink wrap off, and I looked and said, okay, just plug it in. And when I plugged it in, it just took my music from iTunes and it put it on here, and I was like, what? You know, I possessed it, but I didn't know how to use it. I had it in my possession, and it was shrink-wrapped, and it was never used. I remember through those 6 months, I looked at it a couple times. I thought, I don't have time to mess with it. It's probably going to be really difficult. I don't know. But once I got it and I used it, this right here is one of the original ones, and I got others after that, just like some of you. Remember the iPod Mini? I remember we got that for Brooke for her birthday. She thought I was king of the world. This right here, this little device, was so easy to use, but I knew about it. I had the box for it, but I just didn't apply it. Those religious leaders that Jesus was dealing with, they were taking times to look at the text, look at the Old Testament. They made up some pretty wacky rules. But even Jesus told them, you do err because you do not know God's word. So right here on the necessity, letter B, why would it be dangerous to merely study God's word without applying it? Why would it be dangerous? Is it dangerous to study God's word and not apply it? Well, let's take our Bibles, do a little field trip here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, it says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifieth or buildeth up. And the fact that knowledge comes in, knowledge not applied, can cause pride. And put down in your blank, puffeth up. The word puffeth up means to be inflated, inflated pride that leads to arrogance. Inflated pride that leads to arrogance. Instead of taking that knowledge and applying it, that's why we see the religious leaders at Jesus' time. The fact that you and I, if somebody called us a Pharisee, those would be fighting words. But back then, the families, the mothers would tell their kids, watch the Pharisees, they're the good guys. But they had God's word put on them with phylacteries, those little leather pouches they would wear on there to put God's word on them, but they didn't have God's word in them. They weren't applying that. Number two there, because knowledge requires action. Because knowledge requires action. We looked at James 1:22 and Psalm 119. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This is Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, his longest sermon recorded. And look how he talks about application in chapter 7 and verse 24. Again, a story that you've all heard, but imagine as he's been preaching this series, and he's been doing it like this. Ye have heard it said. Ye have heard it said, but I say unto you. And what that was back then was people were going, this is crazy. You know, we know that's what we know. That's what has been said. And now Jesus is saying, but I'm saying this to you. You've heard, hate your enemies. I'm telling you to love your enemies. In chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Here he's really helping his audience understand. You take what I'm telling you and you do this, it's going to give you stability in your life. In verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here is Jesus would teach and remind us again that knowledge requires action. And then number three there, because knowledge increases responsibility. Because knowledge increases responsibility. Even as we have Matthew's Christian Academy here ministering to the students and to the families, it's in the matter as they're teaching truths from God's perspective. It's to give them knowledge, but not just have knowledge to store it up, but be able to use that in a way that can be pleasing to God. So here we see that when it says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So let's go to number four. We've seen the command of application, the importance of application, necessity of application. Now the hard work of applying Scripture to your life. The hard work of applying Scripture to your life. It seems easy, but it's so hard. You know, as many would say, one of their favorite tools in the tool chest is YouTube, right? If you want to figure out how to do something, you watch YouTube. I remember I was trying to change the turn signal on my van, and I remember being so discouraged when the guy had his five-year-old do it, and I still couldn't figure it out. And so it doesn't always work, but sometimes they can do things on there that look so easy. Like, I know some of you are thinking about a snack. You're thinking about a snack you're going to have later tonight. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, you're going to have a snack for the game. And the problem is, if you look at Instagram, their snacks they make go in like 10 seconds. It's such a lie, all right? It's harder than it looks. You know, I thought that was funny, but I don't know if this is on. Okay, let's keep on going here. So here on the hard work, letter A, application doesn't happen by accident. Application doesn't happen by accident. If you're going to take God's word into your life, it's not a matter where it's just going to kind of ooze on you. It's not like you have your Bible sitting on your lap and it's just going to absorb into your life. It does take a plan. It does take work. It does take effort. You know, when we get saved, salvation is all of God. But even as we talked this morning and looking at Ephesians, once you get to Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, all of a sudden you're going to see commands that God gives. Imperatives in the Greek language saying you need to do this and you need to keep doing this and adding to your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, even the passage on putting off and putting on, I'll tell you what a great string of verses that helped me in my young Christian life. Those things that saying I need to make sure I need to get rid of these, I need to put on these. So here we go on this. Why is it so difficult? Number one there, because it requires thinking. Because it requires thinking. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 7. This paragraph of Scripture in verses 1 through 7 is teaching a lesson for us on how we can be able to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look there in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In here, there are five imperatives that take place where God's word is saying, if you want to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, it's not where you work it up, but on how you can be able to see God bring grace to your life and keep you strong in living your life. He goes through five imperatives. The last one is in verse 7, where it says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It's almost at the end. The word consider means to think it over, to roll it over, to ponder this, to think on this. And the imperative is you need to do this, you need to do this now. He's saying think through everything that was just shared. Take your time to think about this and look at the verse where it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. When it comes to the matter of applying Scripture to our lives, it's not the matter of just walking through these doors, sitting through a service, and getting to the end of the sermon. That's just the beginning. If you want to see God take great steps in your life, It's amazing already what he's going to do in our lives. Once we know him as our Savior, he's already working. But if we're not applying God's word to our lives, it's becoming a slower process. God has told us to be doers of the word. We saw David saying, "My feet, I turn my feet to follow his testimonies." Moses would say to the whole nation, "You need to always keep the commandments." Number two here, because the devil fights it viciously. Because the devil fights it viciously. It is interesting to see the demonic activity in the Gospels, the intensity that Satan would bring to the Savior and to the disciples, and the battle that would be taking place there. You know, the devil hates doers, those who take God's word and going to do it. It's one thing to have something happen to you, get upset about it and say, I'm not going to deal with it, when you realize God's word is saying you need to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That right there, that verse comes on and we resist that, that pulls us back. Number two, because the devil fights it viciously. Number three, because we naturally resist change. Because we naturally resist change. Change is hard. Right? Yeah. To be able to hear God's word being preached, no matter who's up here, as long as they're preaching God's word and realizing this right here is a message for me that God is speaking to me about, how can I apply this in here? Especially when it comes to the matter of change. The way we were brought up, the education we received, maybe things, choices we've made, it makes it hard. Also, put down number four. I kind of left that out so you could have a little interaction there. Right now, number four underneath there, because it takes time. It takes time. And on there, what I want to do is I want to conclude by giving some practical steps that many of you have heard some of these, maybe you haven't, but I want to give you some tips and that maybe can help you in your application of God's word into your life. This place has a ministry of getting the word out, and I love preaching to our church family. You guys are very encouraging, and it's great to be able to teach those who have their Bibles out that are trying to apply and hearing messages, getting text or an email saying, "Hey, this is how I've applied it." That is awesome. That makes me want to preach longer. Not going to do it tonight, but anyway, okay? So here we go on some practical steps to apply Scripture to your life. Letter A, pray. In that Psalm 119, 18 says this, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I told this to our Sunday school class this morning. As the Lord was speaking to my heart as a teenager, I remember for a time there, I was thinking that my pastor just wasn't that exciting. He never moved from the pulpit. He just kind of stayed in one spot. Little did I know now that I know that he was under Harry Ironside at Moody Church. He loved the word. He was a great preacher. But there was a time when I was younger, I just wanted a little bit more energy. So I'm going from our teen Sunday school class. I'm walking to the church, and I remember reading Psalm 119 and verse 18, and I prayed, "Lord, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law," in this morning's message. And Pastor Wagner preached on Joshua 24. I remember I was taking copious notes. I'm underlining my Bible. And afterwards, we got in the car, and I told my parents, "He studied today. He really studied today. That was really good." My parents looked at me going, "What are you talking about? He does this. This is what he does week in and week out." And I realized the change happened with me. As I prayed, "God, open my eyes." I challenge you to take this next time you have your devotion, start off by even praying, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Number two, here's some helps. Letter B, meditate. Now, we know what meditate is, and I know the illustration of meditation, and I don't want to do the bovine illustration. Okay, it's just not pleasant. I just put down thought digestion. Thought digestion. Or put next to it, good worrying. Good worrying. Something that we take and we hold on to it because I would have to say, I'm going to go out on the limb. I think everybody is worried at one time or another. Where we take that and we just keep rolling it over. We keep thinking about it. It keeps us up at night. To take this and the illustration of applying that to our scripture reading. And something you might want to try that I have found has been really helpful for me is I've been writing down my meditations, not for anybody else, just for me. I do a thing where I make a circle and I'll write a word or a thought that I see in God's word, and then I just start brainstorming off of that, and it helps me to stay engaged. For me, I know if I tried to do that, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to think about this. You probably know my mind is racing, going elsewhere. Pen and paper keeps me locked in. I keep a little paper notebook, and I jot these notes down. I take notes during the message. I'm always kind of trying to write something down. If you have a hard time with thought digestion, I'd encourage you next time, maybe write it down, write your thoughts. It's not for anybody else. If my kids find this after I'm gone from this earth, they're going to think I'm crazier than I am, okay? So here's some helps on here. Number one, visualize the passage. That's, if you need to write some things next to it, we'll go pretty quick on this. But a reference would be John chapter 4, woman at the well. Put yourself in the scene and visualize that discussion with Jesus, with the woman at the well, and put yourself as one of just an unseen witness there. Another one is emphasize words out loud. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things. I can do, and kind of follow that example. Number three, personalize the passage. John 3:16, for God so loved Bob. That's always a blessing. Pray the passage back to God. As we looked, and you might want to put down there Ephesians 3:14 through 21. A great passage to take and to lock in a prayer of enablement. Pray it back to God. Number five, put down in those two blanks, space, pets. Space, pets. Yes, space, as in outer, and pets is like your dog, okay? Those two words, and ask this question. As you look at the first letter of each of those phrases, it spells space, pets, so it can help you remember it better. You can always add a little sci-fi to your life. Okay, here we go. In this is just a little memory trick to remember these questions to ask yourself. And maybe put this in the flyleaf of your Bible. Ask this, is there any sins for me to confess? As I read this passage and you get done, go over this. Is there any sins for me to confess? Any promises to claim? Any attitude to change? Any commands to obey? Any examples to follow? Any prayers to pray? Any errors to avoid, any truths to believe, and then something to praise God for. I know for me, having great questions helps me in my reading. And so this is something I keep, and I found this. This is not original. Got this from somebody else. It's been very helpful. The next one, letter C, is write out the application. And here's some tips on writing out an application. First of all, make it personal. Use first-person pronouns. I need to. Make it practical. Something you can do. I need to lose weight. Okay. Make it possible. This is something you can accomplish. I need to lose 10 pounds. And then make it provable. Make it provable, measurable. Put a time limit on it. Example is, I need to lose 10 pounds by the end of the month. So that's kind of an idea. If you take an application, and even as you look to say, okay, how can I apply this to my life? This is a great way to do it. And then memorize a verse. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by keeping thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. These steps take time, but they lead you to eternal investments you'll never regret. I hope this is something that can be helpful, because more than anything else, we're not to be a library, a repository of the truth God has given us. We are to take this truth, and we're to be doers of the word.